Welcome to Reincarnation Past Lives Revisited, where we will cover one of the many reported cases of reincarnation, so we can bring the discussion out into the light about what happens to our souls after death. But before we go too much further, I'd like to thank Alexios Arctos for his amazing sound engineering and editing work, and Raphael Crooks for allowing us to use his music from the freepd.com public domain music site. Today we rejoin Ben B to hear more about Ray's life, and we learn of an event that would impact Ray's life permanently, right up until the final moments of his death. We also consider the impact of Ray's life on Terry's and ponder on the decisions that he made that might have been influenced by Ray. Join me as we speak to Ben further to explore this intriguing case.
We actually spoke just before we hit record, which I do frequently. We were talking about that we felt that perhaps there was PTSD from Ray that actually was still a part of Terry in a way, and that maybe that's why you had the double memories.
Yes, and it turns out that Terry was a very similar person to Ray. And I researched a little bit about Ray, and they logged identical things. You know, I had a few memories come to me that I suppose aren't favourable memories. Like, I could see that I quite liked the ladies. And then some people had written about Ray that he had an obsession with fast cars and all this. And I know Terry did, you know. And obviously the flying and everything. So, yeah, I could see a lot of similarities between Ray and Terry.
It's interesting that as Ray, as you watched yourself going down, you had the instant kind of almost knee-jerk response, well, I need to keep fighting this fight. And that when you said that, I thought, my God, that's classic Terry. And you said, right, I've got to fight this. I'll go to America because I can continue the fight from America. That's exactly what Terry would have done. Terry was very much like that. I think he was an incredibly brave person, but he was also someone who was prone to, I'm going to react and I'm going to do it this way. And, you know, and perhaps he didn't always think things out, perhaps more cautiously. Yeah,
I would like to say I've learned my lesson, but maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Well, at least you haven't picked a country at war at the moment.
My life's not over yet, Marilyn.
I know. I hate to say this, but things are starting to look dicey again. So I hope you're not going to have a third military life.
Well, not as a pilot. I've given up my wings. I mean, crashing, you'd think you would learn from the first experience of crashing, wouldn't you? But evidently not. So, yeah, but this story doesn't stop at this moment because there was another mystery to Ray. And after that sort of memory of dying, there was this incredible mystery of who was this woman that I felt was so important to me that I had to say her name when I was dying. And why was she not my wife? That was the most important question, I suppose.
So can I ask at this point, did you know, was Ray actually married at the time?
Yes. Right. That was something I learned on the internet. That was not something I remembered. Ray actually was married and had a young son who was only a baby, a couple of months old, when he was shot down and killed. Sad in itself. Yeah, but I know this sounds terrible from our perspective, but although I felt Ray had a lot of respect for his wife, there was something there. It just didn't feel like she was, I don't know, you could say this extreme love of his life, if you like.
She was or she wasn't?
She wasn't. She was not that woman. And she wasn't the woman that I said when I died. And that really plagued on my mind. I was just felt, who was this woman then? Is there any possibility I'll be able to find her? And that was, although I'd solved a lot of things about Ray, obviously finding out who he was and going to see where the area he crashed. This was something that sometimes had me feeling quite depressed. Really, I'd sit there and try to figure it out, but I mean, I kind of sometimes got a bit of memory recall about who she was, this woman. I kind of built a profile, if you like, in my head of who she was, and but it was quite painful to think about, so I didn't really like to think about her. I got the feeling that she was somebody who had actually died already. So she wasn't somebody who was living when Ray died, which in itself made me feel quite emotional, and I didn't like to think about it. And I also felt she died fairly young, maybe like when we were teenagers. I think I actually wrote the age of 19. And I tried to think about how she might have died, and I have this visual of her sort of always being in the countryside, and there was horses. And as soon as Ray was born in South Africa, maybe she was South African, but I don't know. I kind of got this visual of a countryside scene, and I didn't know where it was. To me, she seemed like I don't know, at that age, I suppose it's your first love. You feel things quite intensely anyway, don't you? And that's how it felt. And I couldn't really put my finger on it. I thought maybe she might have died from something like influenza or something. I just couldn't figure it. At that age, why would you die? Like, it just didn't make any sense. The more I thought about it, the more it seemed to sort of jump in the other direction. I couldn't figure it out. And I did try to look to see if I could find anything, but there was just nothing, nowhere. So I was like, well, maybe this has to be a mystery. I'll never solve it. But I'm the sort of person who doesn't give up, so I was like, it could be a mystery forever, but maybe not. And it was the beginning of last year. I just was sitting there one day thinking, I need to look something up about Ray, but I can't figure out what it is. So I was just typing his name on Google, which I've done before, so I already knew kind of what might come up. But I think it was on Flickr. Somebody had posted a news article about Ray, and it was I think it was something that was published in the 1970s or 80s in an English newspaper, and it was about the crash site of Ray. And I thought, wow, this is interesting, and it gave details about the crash. Actually, this was another thing that I was able to verify. A long time ago, I saw on the internet a photograph of a crash. And on this photograph, it said Ray's name was associated with it. And somebody said this was Ray's crash of his hurricane. And I remember looking at the crash and thinking, I don't feel any emotion around this. Why don't I feel any emotion around this? This is supposed to be Ray's crash. And then in another book or article or on the internet, I saw actually a picture of another crash. And this one said it was Ray's crash. And I was like, this one gave me an emotional feeling that I didn't like to look at it. So it turns out that the first photograph, which what somebody had said was Ray's crash, was not Ray's crash. It was actually a photograph of an aircraft that Ray had shot down. So somebody had got that mistaken. It was a Stuka plane, one that he crashed, that he had actually shot down. And in this article that I found, going back to on track, it was the same photograph of the crash of Ray, and it was so the one that I had an emotional reaction to definitely was Ray's crash, right? And apparently this photograph was taken by the cousin of Siegfried Sassoon, the famous war poet, who apparently was living in the area because they lived in the area where Ray crashed. And had seen the crash, so he'd come with his camera and taken a photograph of it because he was actually a photographer. So a little bit of a strange little thing there. Apparently, this article detailed the fact that when Ray crashed, there were some children out in the backyard of that field, and the hurricane had come very close to landing where these children were sheltering in a sort of bunker outside, but miraculously, the plane missed the children, and it had hit on the way down a plum tree. Now, apparently, this plum tree had died, but it still was bearing fruit. One of these stories that was quite emotionally resonant. I thought, I want to see if I can get a better, higher quality picture of this newspaper article, because it was quite blurry. So I thought I'll go on the news, British Archives newspaper. It's like an internet website where it has all the British newspapers in like an archive format. So I'll I'll see if I can find it because I've got the date of the newspaper article and everything. And I found the article. It wasn't in any better quality. But when I was on this website, I suddenly got this insight that I'm going to search for Ray's name on this to see what comes up. So it will search all the British newspapers from this time period when Ray was alive to see if I can come up with anything about Ray in general. Because Ray was a prolific flyer, he actually got the Distinguished Flying Cross, which like the it's like the Medal of Honor for flying. So there was a few citations with his name in newspapers there. But as I was searching down, I came across an article with Ray's full name, and in this article, it mentioned there was a crash, but it wasn't to do with his crash in the hurricane. This was a different crash, and it was like in the early 1930s. And I clicked on it thinking, what the heck is this? You know, I didn't know what it was. And I didn't even know if it was the same Ray. Maybe it was somebody with the same name. Who knows? But as I started to read the news article, I realized it was Ray. I knew that he'd been a student at Cambridge at that time. And it said, you know, his name and he's a student of Cambridge and blah, blah, blah. Essentially, reading down the article that he'd been in this car crash. Somewhere in the north of England in the early 1930s, and he'd been in this car with a woman, and it was a fatal car crash. It was because the roads were pretty icy, and the car had overturned, and it had killed the woman he'd been driving with, and left him with a broken arm and I think concussion, and so yeah, the girl he had been in the car with was 19 at the time, and I remember sitting there thinking, this is the lady that I'd said her name when I died. Now the thing is, I didn't fully remember her name. I heard a word which is similar to what I remember calling her, but you know, I knew that this was her. And again, this was one of these moments where I was like, how on earth could I have known that unless I was Ray? For me, this, you know, this was like the last straw. I was like, I can't deny this was my experiences now, and it really hit me. And I don't know, I think I spent some time a little bit in shock over it, to be fair, and also feeling a fair amount of grief about the fact that, you know, I understood the grief I felt and that why I might have said her name when crashing myself, because it was only 9 years later that Ray died. And I had this kind of insight that maybe the reason I said her name when I was crashing in the hurricane was because I said her name just as we were crashing in that car.
And because you knew you were dying, perhaps you were thinking of her, you know, because you might see her
She had,
again.
yeah, like, yes, essentially. And,
You obviously have a connection. Maybe that's why you came back to England, because she was based here. And as we know, people tend to reincarnate in the same cultural groups. Maybe she's here
yes.
in England somewhere.
Well, the thing is, see, I've always had trouble feeling like I belong anywhere or that I belong here in England because of this tie that I have to America and Terry and everything. I'm like, why the hell am I here in England? You know, but England was really important to me as Ray. And as somebody who was born in South Africa and somebody who had American parents, I made England my home. That was my choice. I don't know if I got British citizenship. I know Ray's dad did. You know, it was somewhere that I fell in love with the country as well, you know. So for some reason, remembering all that and remembering her kind of solidified the fact of why I'm here. You know, it started to make sense, and for a lot of years had not made any sense to me.
That's the thing. I mean, maybe you came back here in the hope of reconnecting at some point with her.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened.
I don't think it is so strange. Like, when you look at your life, you know that your mother, last time I think you'd had a connection with.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah.
And that's why you always felt that you came back to England to follow your mum. You basically, although you identify as being American, perhaps there's a large part of it that is really is British.
Yeah, I mean, it's a food for thought. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
It is, because I also feel a large part of me is American, but obviously I'm not American now. So it's a strange one.
Well, it feels like you might have a foot in both camps. You know what I mean? I think both were equally important to you in different ways.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, to be fair. And also, the thing about Terry is, although I was American, I also felt strongly Irish. I was Irish American. So that European tie is always kind of there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the United Kingdom tie, even with Terry, was there.
Yeah, I think I wasn't Northern Irish. I was from County Cork.
True, but I mean, still in
Yeah,
that.
I know what you mean.
If you're looking land mass, if you're looking local,
Yeah.
geographical, not necessarily
Yes.
historical.
It's this part of the world. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But it just gave me that sense of belonging that I hadn't had for a long time. And like, maybe that's why I'm here, you know. It made sense. And I was able to find a little bit of peace in myself.
Oh, that's good.
Which is hard to find, let's be honest, with somebody who's always felt not at peace.
Well, for you, I
So,
mean, you've had so much to deal with. I mean, I think people now will understand when I say I'm in awe of you because you have incredible resilience because you've dealt with so much in your life
yeah.
to keep all these amazing, incredibly difficult balls in the air. And you've really done it
Yeah.
with great aplomb, actually. Although it doesn't feel that way, you really have.
Yeah, I just think I wouldn't lie and say it's been easy, but it hasn't, you know.
No.
It's still not easy.
No.
And I wouldn't say that I've figured it all out, but you know, for me, every time I figure something out, like, you know, figuring out who this woman was, I think sometimes you have to look back to look forward to understand. And after finding out about this woman, I thought I'd look her up, see if I could find anything about her on the internet. I found where she lived. It was a little village in the north of England where she was born, and she was really rural, you know. Again, that matches the countryside imagery I was seeing of her. And she's actually buried in a sort of grave with her mom and her dad. I think he was buried there afterwards. I got the name of the village, and I was in the back of my head thinking, I'm gonna go visit the grave. Because I actually felt I never did it right. I think I didn't go to the grave. I don't think I ever acknowledged the grief. I think after she died, this is just me going off memory. I don't fully know what happened, but I think I got this recall of people telling me, just, you know, get out of the country, forget about it, you know, it's not worth ruining your life over, kind of thing. Because it did hit me really bad. And I was getting that message from all centers of my life. And according to the historical records, Ray did go to study abroad in Canada, actually, after that happened. And I always, when I thought about this place in Canada, I always thought to myself, I felt a bit depressed. And I couldn't figure out why. I mean, you're supposed to be at university, you're enjoying yourself and everything. And it makes sense. Probably I was there, probably feeling quite sorry for myself. And
At that time, if you'd been involved in a car accident where a young woman was killed, I mean, even in my generation, there would have been a degree of scandal attached to that. And people, I don't know if they judge you, but they, you know, it would have been something everybody knew about, particularly if she came from a small village. So, you know.
yeah. And also, this, I mean, according to the newspapers I looked up, it made even London newspapers. It was kind of a
Big
reported in
deal.
several places, you know what I mean? It wasn't just local news. And not frontline headlines and everything, but it was that, if you think about it, back in 1931, not many people were on the road. Not many people had cars.
That and the youth of both of you makes it
Yes.
more tragic.
So I had in the back of my head, I'm gonna go visit this grave, as because it's Ray. I don't think I ever did, and I feel I have to go there. And I thought, if I go there, will I get a sense of whether whoever she is, this spirit, or any of her energy, if it's there, does she blame me for what happened? And I thought maybe going there might give me a bit of closure. I didn't really feel immediately like better about it, so I waited till the summer, and I decided to drive up and stay sort of for the weekend. Drove up to see her grave. But actually, first of all, I stopped at the area of the crash because it wasn't immediately near to where she lived. And parked up the car, and I bought some flowers from just a flower stall. And my idea was to sort of just leave a flower at the area of the crash, and then take the rest of the flowers to the grave. And I didn't have the bravery to drive actually the route where he crashed. You know, I kind of went the back way and then parked on the side road. And it's a really, really busy road. I don't know if it was back then, but now it is. And the area is kind of more built up now. But I remember walking down to the bridge, because it actually happened on the bridge, like a curve, very curved road. And I felt this sense of really dread. Just didn't like the area, really. That was the feeling. And as I was driving there, I was getting this really bad anxiety feeling, like even getting this kind of visual of gripping the steering wheel and bracing myself for crashing. I was like, oh, I don't want to crash again here. Once is enough. But still, I left the flower there, and I felt she's not there. She's not in this area. I won't find her here. And I decided to, now I'm going to go actually visit her grave. It's like a, I don't know if it's like a 20-minute drive or something like that. It's a really quite pretty area of the UK, so Yorkshire way. So lots of hills and countryside and all that. And got to where she's buried, and I parked up and walked through the churchyard, and had an idea of what her grave looked like because I'd seen it on the internet. And it was a really peaceful, sort of quiet area. And actually, I was struck with how peaceful it was, to be fair. Like, wow, this is incredibly quiet. I mean, I know graveyards are peaceful and everything, but inside me, I felt this peace. And I didn't feel any blame or any bad feelings. It was just this sense of peace. And I left the flowers in, like, there was actually like a holder for flowers. So obviously someone had been there and left flowers there on the grave too. So that was something that kind of struck me. It means that there must be sort of relatives still living. And there was a priest who came out of the church, because the grave itself is quite near to the church doors, and he saw me there, sort of, and he kind of smiled a little bit. It was like a quite a youngish priest, so there was a sort of butterfly flying around, and as I was standing there, was a kind of a plane flew really low overhead as I was standing there, and I don't know what I was expecting, but I think, because as Ray, I didn't want to acknowledge her death. This was me kind of acknowledging the fact that she died, you know. Kind of, it's hard to untangle what's mine and what was hers, you know, because it, for me, it was quite a sort of pivotal moment, I suppose, doing that. And not only as who I am now, but I guess everything that's gone from when that crash happened, she died, to now, you know. It was obviously, there was a big chunk in between. It just hit me for a moment. But I guess what I took away from it was the fact that it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to put into words.
Perhaps something like you were in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and everything was all right, maybe.
Yes, I mean, I think just acknowledging that she died in itself, and here I was, all these years later, and obviously 2 lives later, you know, putting these flowers down for her and sort of paying my respects. And actually, I said some words to her, and I can't f fully remember what I said, but some of it was like I was apologizing that things happened that way.
She probably knows that now. I think she knew that anyway, but sometimes you need to hear it.
Yeah, and I felt I had to apologize. I mean, not because it was my fault so much, but so much that I was sorry for that happening.
The sadness of her life being taken, snapped out just because of some
random event that just, it's unfair, isn't
Yeah, I'm sorry for that.
it?
And I went and sort of explored the village a little bit. And the funny thing is, the village itself is the same as I got when I went to Ray's crash site. I got this sense of familiarity. And even when I was driving around it, like, you know, when you're driving somewhere that's familiar versus somewhere where it's not familiar, you get this sense of, you know, comfort when you're driving. It was like that. And that kind of struck me as a bit strange. I assume because I'd visited the area as Ray. I decided to sort of go for a kind of evening walk on my own, and there was no one around. And I wanted to walk sort of near to where I knew she lived, because I managed to find the actual address of her house on the internet. Because in the newspaper report it mentions where she'd lived. So I thought I'd just walk around the area, have a little walk. And as I was walking on my own, sort of in the evening, I found myself, I know this sounds bizarre, but I was sort of kind of talking out loud as if she was standing there. And I was kind of discussing with her all the sort of things that had kind of happened. Even things about Terry, you know, like all the stuff that had happened kind of all was just coming out of me. And the strange thing is, when I was walking out, I got this really strong sense of being totally at peace. And for me, that's such an alien feeling. I've never felt that kind of peace before. It was like coming home, you know. And it was almost like, I don't know if her spirit was there. It was more like just the association of how I'd probably felt when I was there. Yeah, and it meant a lot to me to go over and to sort of pay my respects and say goodbye in a way.
Do you think that Terry, the part of you that is Terry, felt a sense of peace and closure about that as well?
On some level, yeah, because I guess on some level, if we're continuations between lives, which we appear to be, the things that I left as Ray would have always been there, sort of a subconscious level, not on a conscious level, but subconsciously.
If you look at the timeline of, you know, Ray, what happened to Ray? Ray dying, and then Ray deciding I can fight them better in America, and then going across. Like everything really stems from his the life of Ray and what Ray experienced, really. So Terry's life actually was hugely influenced by Ray's life.
It's true. And it was almost like as I was walking, because there was nobody there, it was absolutely deserted, the village, all these fields where I was walking, that I felt that I could just talk about absolutely everything that happened between her dying and me now.
So you reached out to Terry's family because you felt strongly that you needed to for the kids. Did you ever feel that need to reach out to anyone, either from her family or Ray's?
With Ray's family, I mean, I think his son died from cancer, fairly youngish age, from what I've seen. And obviously, I think his wife, she's died too. So I think the only living relatives are kind of grandchildren, maybe great grandchildren. I haven't felt a strong pull to talk to them in the same way with Terry's kids. Not quite sure why, really. I think it's.
I guess you're a step removed when you're talking grandkids who probably wouldn't even have any knowledge or feeling necessarily about it. I mean, you know your grandparents, but you don't really know your grandparents unless they talk about their past.
Yeah, and also if the need is great, then of course you might, like there's mysteries and so on. I mean, I'm curious if they might know anything about this crash with the woman. One of the things I've seen on one of the websites is that Ray's family, there's quite a few albums that Ray had. He kept a lot of photographs, apparently. So I've been insanely curious to see those. But I don't know, something's stopping me. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit nervous about doing it. It's not a light consideration, let's be honest.
No, it's not. I've got to say, there's a mystery for me that I would love $1 million to solve, and that is who's
Okay.
putting the flowers on the girl's grave. I would love to ask that minister if he knows who visits the grave,
Well, yeah.
because it might be a relative of hers. It might even be her in her next life. You know how people can reincarnate back in families and then feel a connection.
It could be. I mean, I haven't thought about that, but I did a little bit of family history research on her, and I think she had a sister who obviously outlived a lot of other family members. So whether she had family members too, and that's why they've put flowers down,
Maybe.
I don't know. And more than anything, one of the things that I want to see is I'd like to see a photograph of her. Just to see what she looked like again, you know. I mean, I've got a kind of visual in my head, but it's one thing having a visual in your head and seeing a photograph. My memory of people's faces isn't the best, so it'd be nice to see that. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where it ends at the moment.
At the moment, the future is still unwritten.
The last one, last thing I want to do that I haven't done, and that's I want to go visit the grave of Ray because he's buried in England. And I actually want to feel how it feels to stand essentially at your own grave. I've never done that before. And it, for me, there's two reasons I want to do that. One is, how is it going to feel, just out of curiosity. Another thing is, when I'm standing at Ray's grave, I'll get a sense of how that feels to stand at your own grave. So if I ever find Terry's grave.
Oh, I see. You might feel the resonance of it and know that you're on the spot,
Yeah,
sort of thing.
I'm on the spot.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? The difficulty with finding Terry's grave is just so huge because he probably wasn't living under the name of Terry when he went back to the States if he was involved in the program that we've talked about before.
I thought about this, and lately I've been thinking, I don't know what name I was living under, but it might have been something similar to Terry, but with a different last name. But yeah, I don't fully know. But you're right, because I don't know where Terry's buried. To know how it feels to stand and actually be on your own grave would give me that point of reference. So if I ever did find or have an inclination of where it is, if I go to it, I'll know.
Plus, you may get an experience like James Lineker did, where he felt like he cried when he went to the harbour that James Houston Jr. went down in. He had a
Yeah.
bit of an emotional catharsis and just cried and cried and cried for about, I think it was about 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But then was able to kind of, flip the salute and, I
Yes.
salute you and I'll always remember you kind of thing, and then get past it in a way.
Yeah.
Put a final bag down in a sense.
Yeah. So I'm going to probably this year go down and sort of pay my respects to the grave.
Was he buried pretty much where he went down or?
No, because his dad lived in a village in the south of England. His dad had some money. His dad was extremely rich. So his dad had like actually owned a manor house in England.
Wow.
And in this village, Ray is buried, basically. And I kind of got in my head to sort of do a bit of a pilgrimage again. And to visit the place where Ray took off in the hurricane. Then maybe go back to the crash site, then go down to where his grave is. And then on the coast of England, I think it's on near Dover, there's actually a Battle of Britain museum. And there's actually in that museum fragments of Ray's hurricane on
Oh,
display.
wow.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my God. I think that would probably give me more of an emotional shiver than the grave.
Yeah, I mean, I was planning to do that last. Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to keep me posted how you get on.
I was planning to do this kind of the summertime. Last year I went down to see the grave of Ray's girlfriend, and this year is going to be the final kind of the final thing. Yeah.
Was the Battle of Britain in summer or in winter? I assume it must have been in summer because of flying.
It was over the summer. And ended in October, more or less. And Ray went down in September. So, yeah, it's that sort of heat of summer.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's interesting, isn't it? So you'll be in the same set sort of environmental conditions probably pretty much as well, summer and well, keep me posted and let me know how you get on, because I'd love to be able to give the listeners a follow-up in case you ever do find anything about the girl or, you know. The
Sure.
trippy thing will be if someone's putting flowers on Ray's grave.
That would be very trippy, wouldn't
Yeah, it'd be interesting. But let me know how you get on. So thank you so much for coming on. This has been incredible. And
Thanks for
I'm
having
so
me.
grateful to you for sharing your memories again. I know that they can be very painful. I love Ray's story, I think, more than I love Terry's. There's something so, I don't know, heartfelt and poignant about it. Yeah, so it's been an incredible account. So thank you very much, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been good to talk.
Yeah, no worries at all. Ben and I touched on the similarities between Ray and Terry with regard to their likes and dislikes and their career choices, but there are other similarities too that are rather poignant. Both men were in marriages that were not really love matches, and both men left behind children who would not know their fathers. I keep thinking about Terry and wondering if he might have had a different life if Ray hadn't been involved in the car accident. Ben tells me he wrote a note to the young woman who died and apologized to her, letting her know he loved her. Later, when he was walking around the village where she lived, he took a walk in the fields and started talking to her, telling her everything that had happened since they'd been together. He felt a strong sense of peace that was completely alien to him coming over him as he left. I found myself wondering if perhaps all three men, Ray, Terry, and Ben, haven't finally been able to put down one of the bags that has influenced their lives for such a long time. Ben himself seems to have broken the mold. He too has left a marriage behind, but this time it wasn't because of not loving his partner. It was because he had to be true to himself. Ray, with his past tragedy and heavy burden of responsibility for all of the lives of Britain resting on his shoulders, and Terry, with his sense of responsibility to the woman that he didn't love, who was carrying his child, were not able to do that. Terry also felt the burden of carrying the safety of his country too, serving in Vietnam only a smattering of years after the Cuban Missile Crisis. Terry's military history of working on nuclear bases, America's concern for South Vietnam falling to communism as the North already had, and their fear that other countries nearby may follow suit, coupled with the deep anxiety about other major players and their nuclear capability, made the threat of nuclear war very real to Terry. It's no wonder that Terry signed up for a second tour of Vietnam when he felt his home life was suffering. I think he felt unable to solve the problems at home and in the world, so the least he could do was go back to war, because war was something he was useful in and competent. I think about Terry's home life a lot since learning about Ray. Reality hit both of them hard in the face at a young age, one from tragedy and the other from responsibility, and both were at a very young age to have to deal with such life-changing outcomes. I can't help wondering where both of their lives would have taken them if they hadn't had to deal with the events they faced. Perhaps the answer to that lies in Ben. Thankfully, time has moved on, and in this current life, Ben has had the bravery and the wisdom to recognize that being true to yourself is the only way to happiness. Society also had expectations about who Ben should be. And there are a lot of people who would castigate Ben and hate him simply because he is who he is. I don't. I see a good, good man who is there for his children every step of the way. I see kids who are going to know what it's like to grow up with both of their parents at their sides. I see a man who is doing everything he can to live a valuable and useful life, who approaches the people he meets with kindness, compassion, and wisdom. Whenever I look at the people who cast hatred towards the LGBTQIA+ community, it's not the community I find myself disliking, it's the hater. No matter what your viewpoint is, you are never going to win good people over by spreading more hatred. Perhaps we need to break the mold, just as Ben has, and consider spreading compassion
understanding, and kindness. Let's face it, it can't hurt, and maybe, just maybe, it might be a force for good that can change a lot of the frightening and disturbing things that are happening in the world now. Thank you for listening to Reincarnation, Past Lives Revisited. We hope you enjoyed this case. If you have any interesting stories about reincarnation, or if you can relate your own past life experiences, I'd love to hear about them, and I could be contacted through my email at reincarnationplr@gmail.com or via my Facebook page called Reincarnation Past Lives Revisited. If you'd like to support me, I'd be honoured if you'd become a Patreon supporter. You can find me on Patreon under reincarnationplr. I do extra content, and your support helps me to keep on pumping out content faster and lets me keep on doing what I hope you love hearing. We'll be back again soon with another episode, but until then, remember you are unique and your life has a purpose.